Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silver Screen and Roll podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan in his awful hat. Harrison, big news today.
Is it that Danny Green, that you are now only the second Laker podcaster to interview their boss on air today because Danny Green had Jeannie Buss on his podcast?
I didn't know Danny Green had a podcast. I didn't know he liked talking publicly. That's brand new to me. Did you see the rumor going around that the Lakers might bring back those royal blue cursive uniforms?
Yeah, no, that's like reported now, like confirmed by one of the sports logo sites. So like, obviously like until like the Lakers announce it, I'm not gonna like, you know, assume that it's going to completely happen, but I'm excited. Like those honestly might be the prettiest Laker jerseys of all of them, really, like just from an aesthetic perspective, not
jerseys,
from
period.
Yeah,
like it's just the cursive is such a great look. It's a really cool color. I can't wait. I already
like, don't get me wrong, I love the actual purple and gold, like the actual Forum blue and gold, not the like highlighter yellow that Nike keeps insisting they use. But like I really like those colors, and like those are classics, and I would be sad if they went away. But like as an alternate, like this is instantly probably the coolest alternate in the league, other than maybe the Vice jerseys.
Yeah, I the Vice jerseys, I like the
and the Black Mamba, but like, yeah, like this one's really cool.
Yeah, I think of all of the jerseys, like the royal blue Lakers jersey was the first one that I like just blew me away. The first
those
one
are
I
like
thought, I was just like, oh my god.
If you go to Disneyland, there's always like at least one guy walking around in that jersey, and there's always one guy in the Lower Merion Kobe High School jersey. Like those are the two. You will see one of them every time you were there. It's always a different person, but like someone is rocking both of those throwbacks every single day at Disneyland.
Look, I have nothing but respect for that same person who.
Oh, me too.
Like every single day. All right, today's show, we have a lot to actually get to. We have to laugh at the Clippers doing Clippers things. There's plenty of slander to still throw out there about the Boston Celtics, who acquired the draft picks to various organizations over the years, only to not make the finals before the Lakers did. Boy, Boston fans don't really like it when you bring that up. And then we got to talk about the actual series that the Lakers are going to be playing in. There's a version of analysis that I think has some credence to it. There's some fairness there. But I think it kind of misses the point of the way NBA playoff basketball is played. So we're going to talk about that and everything else in between. Let's start, though, with that depth conversation. And yeah. And there's going to be another conversation about Anthony Davis is going to branch off of that. But let's start with this line of thinking where a lot of people are pointing out that while the Lakers have the two best players in this series, the Miami Heat might have the next five or something like that.
Yeah, so like I think a lot of people have made this point. Like the one that actually brought it to mind for me today was Matt Moore, like tweeted, he's like rank like the top 10 players in this series, like in order. And like I think he's done that for a couple series. And like, you know, I just think like it's an interesting question, and it certainly generates engagement, and it's kind of fun to think about like, okay, who actually are like the 10 best players in this series? But at the same time, like I think if you take that and you're like, oh, well, Anthony, like, if you were going to rank it, I'm not going to ask you to actually rank these guys, but, like, how many would you say are probably Heat versus how many are Lakers? It's probably, like, 6-4 or something like that, right? Or, like 7-3 Heat?
I mean, you think about, so you got AD and LeBron, and then apparently, like, the common thing to bring up is the 5 straight Heat, right? But after that, it's probably a few Lakers. So it's probably still 5-5.
Yeah, it's like it's 5-5 or 6-4. But like like you could make an probably make an argument easier that it was 6-4 Heat than that it was 6-4 Lakers, just because of the inconsistency of some of the Lakers role players. And so like I think so it's easy to take that and be like, oh well, the Heat have the better team, better depth. You know, like they're really solid right through the middle there. Like the Lakers have big drop off after those top two. I don't know if they're going to be able to win at these positional battles. And like I just think that it ignores sometimes like the way that basketball is actually played. Like the top guys matter a lot more than the 3 through 5. Like your top two guys on your roster are infinitely more important than your 3 through 10 even. Like, like I think, and the Lakers have honestly,
especially
like,
when there's such a gap between AD and the next guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like the fact that Heat fans can't always tell me that like who their top guy is probably doesn't say much about those guys compared to AD and LeBron. Like that's how that works.
Yeah. But, well, and also just like the fact that I don't even think any sane Heat fan, and again, I use the word sane as a qualifier, would argue that either of those guys are better than LeBron or AD. They are good players, and the Heat have good players. The Lakers have good role players, too. This is not me saying that like the entire Lakers supporting cast sucks or something like that. It's just that the Heat probably are a little bit more balanced across their roster in terms of talent distribution. Mm-hmm. But with that said, what have we seen in every single round of the playoffs so far, Anthony? It's that when LeBron James and Anthony Davis are feasting, the Lakers are like borderline impossible to beat. I'm going to like, I don't know if you saw me tweet this stat or use it in my story, but like, what do you think the Lakers record is when they shoot above 30% from the field in the postseason or 30% from three? Excuse me.
Have they lost a game?
No, they are undefeated. They are 12-0 when they shoot 30% or better. 30% is like what you shot in those Vegas pickup games when you like when you had the Euro stumble.
Yeah, I mean, I missed that shot.
Like that's like drunk blogger. Like as long as the Lakers do not shoot drunk blogger bad, they are undefeated in the postseason.
Well, here's the other thing, like
because those two guys are so good.
The problem I have with this framing of the conversation, like the exercise itself, is that it lacks a lot of the context here. So if you're on Twitter and you're saying list the top 10, like Matt Moore said, right, like asked everybody to list the top 10 players in this series, like I didn't see people putting a big enough gap in between AD and Bam. And that gap right there is the most important factor in the series. That gap right there is
character limit. They can't hit enter, you know, like 1,000 times.
Well, you have to like, you can only hit enter once. You have to use the enter period, enter period, enter period, enter period.
Okay, yeah.
All the way down there. So yeah, I guess, yeah, you only have 242 characters. And
I mean, it's hard to kind of properly state the difference there.
But that difference is what matters. Like, yeah, that difference is what matters here. And like, as angry as Heat fans want to get at me for saying that Anthony Davis is better at basketball than Bam Adebayo, I almost called him Bam Margera, which would make a very different series.
Yeah, remember that guy? Anthony Davis also better at basketball than Bam Margera.
I would assume.
Yeah,
I would imagine so. But the like that gap right there is very important. And then the other gap that's important here to keep in mind is the lack thereof between the guys as you go down further throughout the list. So like, yes, Goran Dragic is better at basketball than Alex Caruso, but
win healthy all-star caliber player today. Like Frank was really turning up the charm for Goran Dragic taking a discount in free agency today.
And he's playing fantastic basketball.
You know, he's been great. He's been great.
Yeah. But is he worlds better than what KCP has been doing? Is he worlds better? He's better, yeah. Is he worlds better? Like, is the gap between him and KCP bigger than the gap between AD and Bam? Again, almost did it, Margera. Bam Adebayo. Like, is it, which gap is bigger, do you think?
I mean, I would say the AD-Bam gap. I know he.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. The other thing, I don't even, like, not even just from this perspective, how you're framing it. Like, I think just, like, So, you know, if you're playing basketball, especially the way that the Lakers do, like, you are generally, you know, the highest usage guys are your two best players. And so how much better Goran Dragic is than Alex Caruso or KCP or whoever you want to throw at on the roster. Like, this isn't like where you just line them up 5-on-5 and it's like, okay, all five guys are taking equal possessions. And so, like, it's basically like who can score the most points in like those possessions. Like, you're tilting your usage more towards the top of that. So the question is not how much better is Goran Dragic than KCP or Alex Caruso or whoever you think the Lakers' third best player is. The question is, how much better is LeBron James and Anthony Davis taking up more Lakers possessions than whatever Goran Dragic is giving you? And that's where I think the gap is really significant, because like Jimmy and Bam are going to use a lot of possessions, but not as many as LeBron and AD. And so like then it's all of a sudden you're getting into these other guys on the Heat roster. And like, yeah, like Tyler Hero was great against the Celtics, especially in that one game, like literally like world shattering good when he was dropping 37 points as a 19-year-old. Really impressed with that kid. He's not better than LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And so like if you're giving more possessions to those guys, and yes, the Heat with their zone will force other guys to beat them. But I do think that like having those two guys, clearly the two best players in an NBA finals, is a more meaningful difference than I think that exercise gives it credit for.
Well, and the other thing too that needs to always be kept in mind here in regards to talent disbursement in a final series, in a major, major series, is outside of like the Detroit Pistons when they beat the Lakers, when Karl Malone got hurt and that team was about ready to just break anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, like they hated each other.
Yeah. Like for the most part, that top end talent wins series. You know, just last year when the Raptors, you know, once KD got hurt and once Klay Thompson got hurt and Kawhi Leonard was unquestionably the best player in that series at any given moment, that's when the series really tilted in Toronto's favor. You can go through all of NBA history with that stuff. And that's like my problem with Boston's approach to this. Like you saw it immediately as soon as Boston lost and their season was ended, the talk was immediately about their assets again. It's like, what the hell did you, how did you miss this? Like this is, how did you like, how, what have you not been paying attention to? And it's NBA Twitter's infatuation with showing off how smart they are and showing off the fact that they can find these X factors. When at the end of the day, basketball is won by guys like LeBron James and Anthony Davis, 7 foot or close to 7 foot pterodactyls who can also handle the ball and play defense. Like those are the guys who win, not your deep dive, second round diamond in the rough who hits like 5 3-pointers in over the course of a series. Like that depth there doesn't matter at this stage of a season. Over the course of an 82 game season, hell yeah, that stuff matters.
Absolutely.
That puts you in position to be able to rest guys and have them fresher for the postseason. But the reason you're resting those guys to keep them fresh for the postseason is because that's when these guys take over. That's when NBA postseason games are won. Not by the Duncan Robinsons of the world. That guy's not winning this series. He might win a game. He might go off for a game here or there, but he's not going to win you a series.
I just want you to know that I'm going to edit out you giving that caveat because I just want like Heat fans to clip that just and like old takes expose you. Like if Duncan Robinson goes for like 30 in a game, like randomly, like hits like,
no,
hits
I said, 10, he, 3, oh, okay.
You're like Duncan Robinson. He's not going to win you anything. Like he's not going to win you anything in the
fight. You're going to stop it. I'm going to
old takes expose you from a burner Heat fan account.
Anthony, I understand
that rep too. Like the Lakers, like they've gotten to load manage their stars in the playoffs. Like LeBron, this is the lowest minutes he's ever played in any postseason. He's playing less than 35 minutes a game. So is Anthony Davis. Their next highest guy is KCP at 25.5 minutes per game. Like the Lakers, like what's scary is that you saw it in the fourth quarter against the Nuggets, but LeBron still has like playoff LeBron that he can access. Mm-hmm. This is the most rested he's ever been going into any finals. Like, I do think that the Lakers are a little banged up, like with, but they have a couple days off here. They're going to be mm-hmm. able to get right. And like, I don't know. I'm really confident in them going into this series. I have not admittedly like had enough time to do a complete deep dive into like all the different threats that the Heat present, and did not get to watch enough of them this playoffs.
There's
to
no
feel
need,
like
dude. They don't have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You can,
yeah.
You can,
well, okay. There you go.
Give yourself the deep dive. You don't even like swimming anyway.
Well, I'm just trying to think of like how many games or whatever, but like the Lakers will win in. But I am confident they're going to win the series for all the reasons that we just talked about. Like, we can get into the X's and O's of it. We can get into all that stuff. There are smarter people than us that can break that down. But like, the reality is that this is going to come down to like, can LeBron James and Anthony Davis play up to their talent level? Like, or can the Heat figure out a way to slow them down? And like, if they can't, the Lakers are going to win this series.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we got to talk about the Clippers parting ways with Doc Rivers, or Doc Rivers parting way with the Clippers, depending on who you want to believe here. We got to
slander the Celtics.
Got to slander the Celtics.
And then before that, I think you wanted taste to talk it, about
we
gotta
dive
Bam
Adebayo.
You wanted to talk about Bam Adebayo versus Anthony Davis.
Oh, yeah. We also got to talk about the AD thing that we were going to talk about as well. Yes. So let's take a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk about AD, and then we'll dive into the non-Lakers stuff.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight, we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smart Food, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Aren't you happy that one of us keeps notes about what we're going to talk about on the show?
I can't write. You know, and it's been the weirdest thing. I got a career in writing about the NBA without ever understanding how to write.
So. You got a career in blogging about the NBA, Anthony.
Oh, good point. It's only the beat reporters. Only Bill Oram is the person who's been paying attention to the Lakers for the last 7 years. You're right. He's the only person. Nobody else has been documenting the last 7 years about
I'm
this.
Sorry that Dave McMenamin did not shout you out on Twitter, Anthony.
No, it's fine.
Clearly not mad at all.
All I'm saying is all writers matter. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. All right. Can you just make your point about AD and Bam?
So you and I talked about this earlier, and I know that, you know, how you feel about this. So I'm kind of leading you towards an answer here anyway, but tell me you haven't noticed this trend of, does AD have it in this series? Can AD really be that guy in this series? If the Lakers really rely on AD, is he going to be capable of actually winning them this series, given whatever might be going on with LeBron or the Lakers shooting and stuff? And then against Portland, we saw that he could. Against Houston, we saw that he could. And against Denver, we saw that he could. And yet here we are again. After he and the Lakers beat Portland, it was, oh man, but can he score on PJ Tucker? And then after PJ Tucker, it was like, oh man, what's he going to do with fatter Arvydas Sabonis? And then it was like,
is he going to be able to guard Nikola Jokic? Like, one is to wonder if the second time runner, I mean, to be fair, To Nuggets fans and NBA fans as a whole, like, they may have seen Jokic do like unspeakable things to Rudy Gobert and been like, oh, like, well, if he finished third in Defensive Player of the Year and was pretty close to AD, like, maybe this is kind of the same thing. And then it's like, once again, not exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, sorry then, to your boss.
And then here we are again. And again, I like Adebayo. I really do. I think he's kind of the prototype of the of this next generation of center who can step out and play defense on the perimeter as well as defend the rim. He's a great facilitator. His mid-range jumper has really come around. He's obviously tremendous as a rim runner as well. He's a very, very, very good player.
Yes. But
we're once again...
I want to echo that. Like, all due like, Bam is incredible, and his growth and like this year and during the postseason.
He's 23 years old, dude. Yeah. He's gonna be great.
He's the next Anthony Davis.
Right. Well, and that's you know, I recorded Locked On Lakers earlier, which you can find everywhere you find this podcast, Monday through Friday. Actually, in the occasional Saturday, over the last couple of Saturdays I've recorded.
Yeah, Anthony worked on a weekend this weekend, guys. It's been news.
Tough. It's been you know, I do it for the people, Harrison. So we talked about Bam, and again, I guess Heat Twitter was pissed at me for saying that he isn't as good as Anthony Davis, or that there's a lengthy gap between AD and Bam. And I said, AD was the first Bam, and he's a bigger Bam. He's an older Bam. He's a stronger
like saying Bam.
Bam. Bam. Bam. Bam.
No, The dumbest thing about this narrative that you mentioned about like every round AD has like, oh, can he score on PJ Tucker? Like, what's that's going to be, man, that's going to be real tough for him. Like, oh, against the Blazers. Like, I don't know what he's going to do there. Like, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to score enough to stop the Blazers from scoring on the other end. And like, you know, just all this stuff. Like, the crazy thing about this is I feel like there's this idea in like, or there's this talking point among people who don't pay that close of attention to the NBA, that like Anthony Davis is not proven in the playoffs, or like that he has not shined in like big moments before. Anthony Davis has averaged, like when he was in New Orleans, you want to know what his playoff averages were? 30.5 points, 12.7 rebounds. Sorry, I read just defensive first, but 12.7 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, and 1.8 steals, and then 1.8 assists. But like, he, you know, we know that he's not like the greatest passer in the world and didn't have the greatest teammates then. Like, Anthony Davis is a proven playoff performer. It's the rest of his team every year that was not proven playoff performers.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, he wasn't able to take on the Kevin Durant Warriors.
Yeah. Like, he's risen to the occasion every single time that he's like been in a big moment like this. It's been his teammates that have not necessarily risen to the occasion. And I know, like, ultimately that always, throughout NBA history, that always falls on the alpha dog. Like, Kobe doesn't get any credit for almost beating the Suns like that one year and then blowing the 3-1 lead. And like, even though he had crazy averages, like, like, I know that that's not how we do things in like, quote unquote, the discourse, but like Anthony Davis, like, he stepped up in every single round the Lakers have played. This is not a guy where it's like, oh, like, well, but in the finals, you know, is just the word finals going to scare him? Well, I don't know. Like,
the finals logo at half court. He's like, oh my God,
I've never seen that before. I don't know what to do with this information.
That's great.
He's on the bench. Like, I've lost Frank. I don't know if I can make three. I've never played in the finals before.
Bam Adebayo, though, a ton of finals experience.
A ton of finals experience.
Yeah.
For Jimmy Butler, too.
And like, my thing here is I understand what's going on there again. You know, people are talking themselves into, like, and to be clear, I kind of understand why people dislike the way that this Lakers team came together, right? The Lakers had access to talent that every other organization in the league does not have. You know,
those were the same people that mocked the Kobe extension when it happened. And, you know, I'm not saying that like that was the sole reason they got LeBron or that stars feel like they want to take care of them, but it can't be not a factor.
I mean, it's not like AD was lining up to go to the Celtics, who traded away Pierce, who traded away KG, who made Paul Pierce's career. He was basically
kicked in Isaiah Thomas's knees and then traded him.
Right. Isaiah, don't say anything about your injury. Who wants Isaiah?
Yeah.
You know, and so I find myself, and the thing that really, really annoys me here with AD is once he has those performances, people are like, oh yeah, that's right, he's pretty good. It's like, where the hell were you a week ago.
No, it's always, as soon as they do it, it's like, well, of course the Lakers were always going to, it's like Groundhog Day every series. It's like, oh, well, the Blazers are really going to give them a threat. And then when the Lakers win, it's like, what? You beat the Blazers. And then, like, same thing the next round against the Rockets. Like, it's like, oh, NBA rigged. They're trying to take out Danuel House and stop this, like, this Rockets team. And then, like, against the Nuggets, it's like, oh, they're only winning because of the officials. It's like, you know, maybe at some point you got to stop coming up with excuses and realize that this Lakers team is good. They don't win in a sexy way. Like, they have two really good players, but the way that they play is not particularly sexy. Like, they win with defense. They win by, like, playing 48 minutes most nights. Not every night, but most nights. Like, you know, this team is really good. Like, with their chemistry, their cohesion, the way they score is not always pretty. Like, Anthony Davis is the best player in NBA history that never looks like they know what they're doing on their drives. Like, he never looks like he has any idea what he's going to do with the ball until it's like, oh yeah, I'm at the rim. Like,
hey, you know, you cannot spell Adler without AD.
There you go. Like he's probably the most uncoordinated looking great player in NBA history. Like, he looks like a giraffe, and it, like, he's really good. This is not a knock on him.
That's why he's, like, your favorite player.
Yeah, I see why people are, like, they question it, because it's like, if you don't watch him game to game, you're like, well, you know, he kind of got a little lucky on some of those finishes. It's like, no, he just does that every game. It just looks not great. Like, and so I understand why, if you didn't watch him, like, I probably questioned him before that. Like, I still thought the Lakers should trade for him, but I wasn't, like, I didn't think as highly of him before the Lakers traded for him as I did after getting to watch him game to game. He's just so good and impactful on both ends. Like, I just don't think that people fully understand.
Well, the same people who were angry at me about Bam were saying, oh, but you're discounting Bam's defense. We're talking about Anthony Davis, dude.
Yeah, we're not talking about Bam versus LeBron.
You're discounting Bam's defense. Anthony Davis should have won Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Yeah.
this isn't Goran Dragic. This isn't, you know, this isn't some nobody on defense. But anywho. The worst part of getting ready for the finals is
Harrison and Anthony address bad faith Twitter takes for 20 minutes on the podcast. It's our new recurring segment. Let us know if you like it. Like,
yeah. And send us all the bad Twitter takes. Send them to Harrison.
At Anthony and myself with the worst Twitter takes that you see. And, you know, we may address them on a future podcast or just, like, dunk on them on Twitter or something like that.
Let's go ahead and move on. We have a couple more things to get to here. The Clippers and Doc Rivers parted ways after Chris Haynes reported that Rivers was going to probably be coming back because he was the coach that Kawhi Leonard wanted to play for. Kawhi then watched his rotations and changed his mind. So we're before we just get into just laughing at the Clippers here, where do they go? Like, they have 1 year, potentially only have one more year of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And if this thing, like, dies in a fire all over again, they used a ton of draft capital on this gamble here. And, you know, there's a lot of people making I even saw some Clippers Twitter saying that Doc actually did this on purpose so that Lou could take over. Sure, guys. All right. That's how NBA coaches operate. And then there was right before we started recording, Mark Stein reported that Jeff Van Gundy is a name for this. Jeff Van Gundy is becoming TV's Vinny Del Negro.
I don't even know. What does that mean?
TV's, remember Vinny Del Negro though for a while was a candidate for every single coaching availability. Then it became Jason Kidd. And now it's Jeff Van Gundy, because Jason Kidd got passed.
Oh yeah, you're
for,
talking about
for
yeah, yeah. I
know
what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, like, I think, first of all, I just want to say, like, what a classy move by the Clippers to say that it was a mutual parting of ways when Doc Rivers basically, like, released a statement saying that it was, like, not his fault, like, his decision. He very much hinted that it was not his decision in his statement, like, an hour earlier. And
he's a really nice ex-girlfriend saying, like, no, he was nice. He was
no, exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's like how my first girlfriend and I decided to mutually part ways, you know, when she wanted to go to college, you know, like. We mutually parted ways. It was a mutual decision that we both made.
Hey, sticking it out with Robert Sacre has its benefits.
And so, like, I think As far as candidates, though, like, I mean, the first name that everybody's going to bring up is Ty Lue because he's already in-house there. But I just wonder, like, do they want an outside voice? Like, they clearly, like, Ty Lue is obviously an established coach on his own now, but he's very much a Doc disciple. Like, he came up under Doc with the Boston Celtics. He came and was his lead assistant. Now here, like, are they going to want a different, like, to do a complete locker room overhaul? Like, I think... You know, I don't really want to rank like the best candidates because I don't want to do the Clippers brass jobs for them. I just want to rank like the funniest possible candidates. And like, I think number one here would be Mark Jackson just coming in and like telling Kawhi and Paul George that he's going to teach them how to win when like they've won definitely more than he has, like if they're on their own, like than he has as a coach. And like, I think
what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn you butterflies back into.
No, he's going to put you back in your cocoon. That he didn't get to take the Warriors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, they're cocoons now. He's finally going to get to breach the butterfly. Like, he took the Warriors from caterpillars to cocoons, and then Steve Kerr got the butterfly benefit. You know, now he's going to get his own butterflies.
See, what's actually going to happen is that he's going to turn those butterflies and stick them in cocoons.
Yeah, no, well, exactly. Like, no, the NBA, like, has never seen a Steph Curry stopper quite like Mark Jackson. So, like, I think number one, like, he is at the top of the list of, like, honestly, best candidates, like, if you were someone from the outside watching, because it gets him off TV and he goes and ruins the Clippers. Like, that would just be, like, if we're just looking for funniest outcomes, I think that's up there. I think number two funniest outcome is the Clippers give up draft picks to trade for Brad Stevens. And like, just keep like recycling Celtics coaches that the Celtics are ready to move on from. Like, that's not going to happen, but it would be real, like, overrated Celtics coaches. You know what I mean? Just keep like that train going. Yeah. And I think like number three funniest outcome would definitely be Mike D'Antoni, just because you'd have him talking like, okay, finally time to take my revenge on the Lakers. It's like the Lakers are like, oh yeah, that's right. You coached us a while ago. And just constantly giving locker room motivation to LeBron James, just basically like by accident coaching up the Lakers from the Clippers locker room, just with like all the bulletin board material he'd constantly be giving.
He would actually tell Kawhi, hey, stop playing defense.
Yeah, he'd be like, just, you know, stop. I think you're using too much energy on this defense thing. Like, let's try and really get you to unlock your potential on offense and just run like a million screen and rolls with Kawhi every game. It's stop like put running. PPs parked in the corner.
Stop shooting in the mid-range. I know, Kawhi, that is your market inefficiency, but stop that. Get out of here.
He'd start PG at center.
PG would finally be the center of attention, though. Like, yeah, congratulations.
Exactly. Maybe he can unlock playoff P when like he's getting guarded by Rudy Gobert or something, since he hasn't been able to against anyone else.
No, they would trade for Rudy Gobert in this hypothetical.
No, there's no way that a Mike D'Antoni team would trade for Rudy Gobert. He would quit. He'd quit if you gave him Rudy Gobert. I think like fourth funniest outcome is JVG, like just because like I just like no I take that back. Fourth funniest outcome is they actually call Phil Jackson and he actually says yes, and we get to watch like 75-year-old hates current NBA Phil Jackson just constantly take pot shots at the rest of the league, openly hate on his own team through the media, like start a feud with Kawhi's former trainer, like you know, just that might have to go up the rankings. That's above D'Antoni.
Oh, like how long before Phil Jackson calls like Uncle Dennis and everybody there Kawhi's posse and then just completely ends that relationship?
Oh man. Yeah. So I think I don't know. Like, yeah, I guess JVG is fifth funniest just because like, it's like Phil Jackson light. It's like a guy who's been in TV and hates the current NBA coming and like trying to like outsmart it by playing bully ball in the post.
The one thing I think that kind of flies in the face of the chances that they hire Jeff Van Gundy or Mark Jackson is that we always see Ballmer at the games. He's never listening to ESPN and those guys talk about his team.
No, what do you mean? That definitely, like, I think that plays in their favor. Like, he's never heard them talk basketball. He probably still thinks they're good coaches.
No, but, like, the way that it works with these owners is that they hear these guys, like, talk, and what sounds to them like smart basketball is very much not smart basketball, and that's how those guys get hired. But,
yeah, whatever. Actually, you know what? I think, honestly, you're making a lot of sense.
That's how that usually plays out. I hope I'm pulling for Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson to be co-head coaches of the Los Angeles.
That would be great. What if they brought in like Mike Breen as like an assistant slash like press conference moderator just to try and wrangle their answers?
Mike Breen would just like dissolve into sunshine because he would no longer have those guys holding him down.
Mike Breen, can you imagine if they gave like Mike Breen like, I don't know, like Doris Burke and like Stan Van Gundy or that even Doc Rivers, who was a really good broadcaster, he wouldn't know what to do with himself anymore. Like, he wasn't having to like correct bad takes all the time. And like,
Jeff, stop slouching. I know you hate your job. Just stop. Try to seem like you care a little bit.
Mark, you said Mama Bear goes fat man 3 times this game.
All right. Last thing before we go here. The Boston Celtics are not in the finals. They how many first rounders? Like I could play up the joke here, right? We could say that they had like 30 first rounders or how many picks that they had and how many assets that they had to potentially work with. But the actual number here would actually make this so much funnier, especially seeing as right after they ended, as we talked about earlier, Chris Mannix is out here talking about first round draft picks and how that could be their missing piece. Even while Jason Tatum no shows for stretches of games and seems to want nothing to do with leadership on a basketball court. Even while Jaylen Brown,
he's like 20, like he's still good. Let's not, great. This is not,
cool. I would be thrilled if he winds up being the face of that franchise because he just like that's one of those things that like Donovan Mitchell showed it really early. You know, like the guys, you either kind of Jimmy Butler had it really early. You either have it or you don't. And he just doesn't seem to have it right now.
I don't know if I agree with that, but just to answer your question, it was three unprotected first round picks and 2 pick swaps. They own Brooklyn's draft for half a decade. And
that's the Brooklyn Nets, by the way. Like, yeah, the Brooklyn Nets were really high
that whole time.
Yeah.
Like, and then all of a sudden, like they can't, like, they, and they were still a playoff team during this whole time. And they still couldn't use any of that to get over the hump and get back to the finals while the Lakers were the laughing stock of the league. And now the Lakers have managed to reload. And I saw people going back at this, like Boston fans were mad. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't live in LA and the best player just wants to come play for us. We should try that. It's like, well, you know what you should try, maybe actually taking one of these big swings instead of leaking that you almost did it. Like, I thought the most predictable thing in the world was after Hero went off, like the Boston media leaking, it's like, oh, well, Boston really liked him. He just got nabbed right before them. It's like, oh man, Danny Ainge just missed out again. Even the organization, like the stuff that we talked about earlier, like if you trade the guys that basically won you a title before their run, like you get the NBA Twitter likes for like, oh, like a Danny Ainge, like moving on before he had to, really reloading, getting a solid package, or like, you know, like the Isaiah Thomas trade, like, oh man, like, yeah, you gotta trade him for Kyrie Irving and like really try and get that done, even though he had like played through the death of his sister and like a knee injury and hurt himself worse for you. Like you can say that was smart. Those things were smart from the outside, and maybe they were like good process if you're playing 2K or something. But like players in the league, like we had Anthony Davis's dad coming out and saying like directly on the record that his son would never play for Boston and like would demand to go there.
Yeah, that stuff matters.
Specifically because of how they treated Isaiah Thomas. Like that kind of stuff, that matters to your perception around the league. And that's why your biggest free agency addition is Gordon Hayward.
I'd also add to that.
That's why Kyrie left.
On top of the reasons, like it would have been nice for the Lakers to get number 17 playing against Boston. But for Boston to learn that actually this league is run by superstars, that actually these things are won by superstars. And hey, this brings a conversation kind of full circle here as we started talking about how this infatuation with depth is a great way to show off that you know the sixth best player on the Miami Heat. Like, that's great and all. But at the end of the day, the stuff that wins in this league are the Anthony Davises of this world, are the Kawhi Leonards. Was Jimmy Butler ever attached to Boston? Was that?
Oh, yeah. No, Anthony, you don't understand. They're attached to everyone that demands a trade. And it's always they were this close to getting them. Like they were, you know, oh man, if they would have just picked up the phone 5 minutes earlier, they would have had him. Or, you know, like there was a leak that they were willing to give up, like they had tried to give up like 5 first-round picks for Justice Winslow, like when he had like a pretty good rookie season. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they, it's every single time afterwards they're connected to these guys. I don't know how actually connected they are to these guys, but I know that like the media that, you know, Danny Ainge trades information as favors for is like happy to report that he was, oh man, Danny, Trader Danny, this close, getting the big deal done.
He was this close. And I also think
one big deal he ended up making ended up completely blowing up in their face in Kyrie. And then now they signed Kemba, who doesn't look like he can make it through an entire playoff run healthy. Like, you know, it seems like an exceedingly nice guy and it's like a good player, but that contract is probably not going to be great towards the tail end of it.
Well, also, I think another thing that's worth keeping in mind here when it comes to Danny Ainge and his approach to this is he was a career role player, right? He was fine. He was a fine role player. I hated him on several levels when he was a Celtic. But at the end of the day, he was a fine role player. I think he can talk himself into role players being the thing that separates it, having been a role player. But you look at the GMs that have had success over the last, this year especially, right, with Rob Pelinka doing whatever it took to get LeBron James and then to get Anthony Davis, whether it's Bob Myers getting Kevin Durant and understanding how to treat his superstars out there. Like these former agents understand how, like what wins in the NBA. And this idea, as fun as it is to talk about your great trade machine, three teamer that somehow only helps with one or two Hollinger wins. That stuff is fun as a hobby, but that's not what wins in the NBA. And I'm perfectly fine with Boston never figuring that out. I'm perfectly fine with Danny Ainge just stridently saying that, no, the Marcus Smarts of this world win championships. No, he'll play a role in winning a championship maybe, but he's not going to win you a championship. And the sooner that all of these teams and the people talking about the NBA in general learn this and rid themselves of this idea that depth is actually what matters in the postseason, the longer we're going to get bad faith arguments about why Anthony Davis is going to go 4 rounds before he ever gets tested.
Yeah, no, I think I thought that you were going to make the argument that like small level college role players were the GMs of the future. Like, so, and I was going to be like, well, shouts to Duncan Robinson. Looks like he's set up for like a next gig too. Like after his NBA career is over, because Pelinka and Myers both played very small roles on really good college teams.
I was just like the agents. I think this is where I think they really provide value.
In that case, good news for Knicks fans. They finally got it figured out. They got William Wesley. So they nailed it. Knicks have fixed their franchise finally.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Silver Screen and Roll podcast. We have a couple more, or maybe one more episode before we get to the kickoff of, or the tip off of.
Yeah, one more. Alex will be back with you guys tomorrow.
So they'll more specifically preview the Heat and Lakers series. I'm taking the Lakers in 5. Have you formulated a prediction yet?
You haven't done
a deep dive
yet. Yeah, I've been saying Lakers in 6 because I do think that Miami is better than the teams that they've played so far. But like, you know, if it was Lakers in 5, that would not surprise me. I don't think that it's going 7. Like, I mean, maybe it could, but I don't think so. Like, I think the Lakers are significantly better enough. I've just been going back and forth between 5 and 6 and leaning 6 just out of respect for Miami and what they've done.
Yeah, I really like Miami, and I really like a lot of the people who cover Miami, but I think the Lakers are just a better team. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the shows tomorrow. Enjoy the NBA finals over the next couple weeks. Please be safe out there, and we will talk to you next time.